The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need as much power as we can get from the Father on the throne, through the Son at the right hand, and the Holy Spirit inside us. We have all that we need to be strong. But one strategy in the Scriptures helps us access this standing with God more quickly than others. We will review it. Next, here's a wild thought. There is an effective way to send the enemy and the darkness of his kingdom packing for a long walk off of a short pier. It is a method that brings us joy while at the same time creating a fortress around us. Ooh, does this sound awesome? Well, it should. So we will examine how to get ready to lock and load. And finally, let us review the reality of what is going on right now. In the world, people are freaking out over the latest rumors, or what the media networks call news. In the sky, there are weather patterns that help generate something called seasons. Wow. And in heaven, they are... Oh, wait. Wait. What are they doing in heaven right now? Well, maybe we should be doing that, too.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanity is an oive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's an easy way to do it. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and that's terrific. Here's what we do this for. We want to keep all topics open for conversation. And the reason that we keep it that way is you should know by now, if you've listened for more than 10 seconds, this is not professional radio. This is just radio. And so what we want to do is we want to encourage you, if you've got a praise report, a prayer request, you got something you want to share, something the Lord is working on in your life, or you just got a question about the Scriptures, and it's not so deep theologically that they're still arguing about it and will be for another 100 years, you can ask me 2 + 2. That's good. I probably can get that. 4.5. No. So the bottom line there is you can also answer Bible trivia. What kind of Bible trivia, Dave? I'm glad you asked that question. Who was it who was stoned to death for preaching that Jesus was the Savior? He's also considered, in the book of Acts, the first martyr. Okay. I did not say in the Gospels, because that's going to be John the Baptist. He's considered the first martyr in the church who he was stoned to death for preaching that Jesus was the Savior. Who was that? If you think you know, let us know by reaching out to us. Let's see. I guess you can call us. That's a way to do it. 972-445-0770. You can text us, 214-210-8483. For those that are not sure, you can look in the book of Acts chapter 7. That's where you want to go. Brief reminder, you can also email us at david@hemustincrease.org. Plus, we want you to go to the website because there it will take over everything in your life and tell you how to do everything, including brush your teeth. Okay, I'm kidding. Just go to the website. You can check it out. If you feel like that's what the Lord wants you to do in giving, that's a great place to do it. hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, get ready. I'm just telling you right now, do we cover everything? We've covered everything, right? I think we've covered all that we need to cover. Get ready. This is going to be one of the more challenging words, interesting words you've heard in a while. There is nothing new in any of our material. It is all at least 2,000 years old, if not older. Maybe 3,500 years, depending on what we're talking about. So we all know from Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, there's a lot of people right now walking around in Christianity doing a little bit more oy of the Lord than joy of the Lord. A few people are like, I don't like what's going on. It's a lot of oy. It's frustrating. It's irritating. I understand. I got it. But the reality check is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we know from Psalm 16:11 that it is in the presence of the Lord that there's the fullness of joy. That we know being in the presence of God, okay, being in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we make that connection. But there's something that happens for all of us. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullness. I've got a message for you that will help you understand. We've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again, just like Jesus taught multiple times on subjects. And there's four gospels. Why? Because we need that many. We're just not that bright. And the bottom line is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to kill your faith. He's trying to destroy your existence. And one of the things that he does really well is steals our joy away. We come out of church, we're just filled. We've just spent some great time in fellowship. We're super excited. We almost feel evangelistical. We can take on the world. And then some weird thing happens in the next 30 minutes. And then you're just like, what? Where did all that joy go? Well, I have an answer for you. It was stolen. That's why the thief is called. Wait, get ready. The thief. See that? See how that works? He's called a thief, one who operates in stealth, right? He's a robber, and he takes that stuff away. And you're thinking, but you gonna tell me that just because somebody cut me off in traffic, that could be Satan? It could be. It could be whatever the tactic is that Satan is using to draw you out of the joy or out of the presence of the Lord. Believe me, he's gonna try. Because the last thing Satan wants is for you to enjoy God ever. Now, I know many of you are thinking, well, I don't really sense that it's spiritual warfare, Dave. You see how good Satan is? You see how brilliant his tactics are? You can't even sense that it's spiritual warfare. But he's the only one that wants it. The world's oblivious. He just uses the world, Satan just uses the world to take that joy away. We have a response to this, and we're going to get to that, but I don't want you to miss that some of you have been robbed. And you're thinking, there's no way that Satan can do anything to me. And it's like, I want you to be aware of something. In the case of Jesus Christ and Peter, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your strength will not fail. Peter went through such a ferocious trial, all the way to the point of denial, but then restoration. For those that are sitting there thinking Satan doesn't do that, Jesus testified that Satan does that. There's no way around it. So then the question becomes, well, Dave, if we have a good fellowship, or you have a great time in the Bible, or you have a great time in prayer, you have a great time in some capacity, and the Lord fills your heart full of joy, and you can tell His presence is with you, and then it gets stolen, what should we be doing? How do we recover from the loss or from the step down that takes place? And that's what I want to talk about. That's the whole setup for the next segment, is to give you the actual tools. Now, understand this. In the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit, you don't come behind in anything. You're not lacking in any gift. You're not missing. You might not be as open to the Lord as you need to be, but you are. The resource is there. Now, whether or not you open up the package, some people are really good at opening the package right away. Some people open the package a little slower, but it's all there in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're not separated. They're united. And if you have acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and accepted in your heart, you're not absent the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that you're open to everything the Holy Spirit's doing. It just means you're not absent of it. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about what is established from the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit for us to use as a practical tool to fight Satan's robberies, to how to stop him from just robbing us all the time. That's what we're going to get into. Isn't that fascinating? All right, so what I do need to do is answer the trivia question first. So the person that was stoned to death for preaching that Jesus was the Savior in the book of Acts, Acts 7, 55 through 60, is Stephen. Stephen is the first technical martyr of the church, only because John the Baptist was martyred prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just in case you're wondering from a theological point of view. Take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date they said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, let's see. I'm getting ready for our next trivia question. Okay, this is not that hard. I don't think this is a hard one, but you should be aware of it, I would say. That's kind of how I'd say it. How many times did Samuel go to Eli the priest thinking that Eli had called him? Now, we did this, watch this, 5 weeks ago, but I want to see who's remembering, because even if we do these things and people don't remember, that it's not helping. So the idea is for us to really retain some of this. How many times did Samuel go to Eli the priest thinking that Eli had called him? For those that are sitting there scratching your head, you can go to 1 Samuel 3. That's all the information I can give you. But how many times did Samuel go to Eli the priest thinking that he had called him? All right, somebody calling in on that, which is probably good, only because the next thing up, I think, is my jokes. And I'm not sure that they're that funny, so I just... Okay. Is somebody ready to... Okay.
Just telling you ahead of time.
This is David. Who am I talking to?
David Hansen. How are you?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. Now, this is a classic, you know.
Sorry?
This is a classic trivia question. How many times did Samuel go to Eli thinking that Eli had called him?
Yes, it's 3 times.
That is correct, sir! Good job, buddy. Very good. How are you otherwise?
Good. Just pray for me, like sometime, like last night, my daughter wasn't listening, so I yelled, so I feel bad, and then she reacted as well. So I just pray that God will just help me not to get frustrated with her or get angry. And I hate that part of me. But I was tired, but that's not my excuse. I just need God's help to set me free from this issue of frustration and anger.
Okay, well, let's pray about that, brother. Let's do that right now. Can we do it?
Sure.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you. We bring our brother to you. And Lord, look, he's acknowledging he's struggling. He's having a hard time with this. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that instead of being frustrated, that you would help him bring it down to a level of peace and trust, and that he doesn't have to be the financial guru that the world puts on him. He doesn't have to make $1 trillion. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. He has to honor you, and that you will take care of him. I just pray for him and his wife to have peace and forgiveness for one another, for encouragement for one another, and love for one another, and let that stand firm for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, my brother. You keep us posted, and everybody on this show will keep praying for you, for your wife, just for you guys to do better and to prevail, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so very much.
You got it, brother. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so there's another person you guys need to pray for. That's not hard to figure out, right? Okay, you need to be praying for Samson. You need to be praying for his wife. Sometimes we get frustrated. We do things, right? I love one thing he said that a lot of people might not have caught. He says, I hate it. I hate it. That's exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. All those great theologians who were saying, well, that was just him talking positionally. Absolutely ridiculous. Since in Timothy, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners, of whom I am chief, not I was chief, and true Christians always think they're the worst. It's just one of those things I've always come across. But we're forgiven. We need to stand in that forgiveness, and he knows there's part of it that needs to do better. That's walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh. Okay? All right. All right, here we go. Ready for this joke? Okay. That's right, I have to do humor, people. People are like, you can't do humor, you just did prayer. No, you're so wrong, it's not even funny. I can talk about
a cheesy joke there once in a while.
You gotta have a cheesy joke, and I can talk about food. I just you just know people just don't understand. That's not how it goes. All right, here we go. Let's see. A boy in church. Sunday morning service. The pastor walked up to Mrs. Wilson and said hello. He also congratulated her on how well behaved her son was during the second part of the sermon. Because during the first part of the sermon, her son had been noticeably fidgety. He asked her, "How did you get him to settle down?" Well, the mom told the pastor, "It was easy. I just leaned over to him and said, 'If you don't be quiet, the pastor is going to lose his place and we'll have to start the sermon all over again.'" And that worked. That's a good one. Every once in a while. Okay, that's a good one. That's just, you know, some pastors are like, you know, you could tell nicer jokes about us. Okay. All right, so Satan is obviously a real entity. For those that don't believe that he's an entity, a person, you're missing, just so you can know, you're missing that Jesus taught that. Okay, so what you're saying is Jesus is wrong. Don't say that. That's terrible. Don't say that, right? And then especially if you go to the book of Revelation, you know there's a lot of material there about Satan. Okay, got it, okay? And Satan's the one that's stealing our joy. Got it, that's a bad thing because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then in God's presence, there's this fullness of joy. But then Satan steals that joy. So what are we supposed to do? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. You know I had to have a scriptural answer, right? Okay, just making sure. This is what Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and an opening of the eyes to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and appoint those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning or depression, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." I got a message for you. It's a simple message. It's a complex message. It's a simple, complex message. Ready? The Lord will grant us the garment of praise. For the garment of praise, we have the spirit of heaviness gets cast away when we put on the garment of praise. The garment of praise is what you do. Watch this. You're just going to freak out. When you're really discouraged, you put on the garment of praise. When the joy gets stolen, you put on the garment of praise. When the enemy gets in and kind of bums you out, you put on the garment of praise. And the garment of praise breaks the power of the spirit of heaviness. Watch this. You're going to love this. It's like a transporter. Star Trek transporter. You put on praise. And you know what? I'm going to say this really nice to you. The enemy hates this. And our response is, good. It's fine. Because when you put on the garment of praise, it casts out the spirit of heaviness. And that depression and that discouragement and that frustration, it starts to lose its grip. Because you're praising the Lord. And you think, well, no, what are you going to tell me that praising God, giving God praise, giving God thanks is a way to break the heaviness? No, I'm not telling you that. God is telling you that. You see, one of the things that happens is when we go through some of these things, why it gets to be heavy, why the enemy steals it from us, why that takes place is because when we get so focused on the situation, so focused on ourselves, so focused on the stuff that's going on, we sink in our faith. But when we put on the garment of praise, instead of looking at the situation, instead of looking at what it could be, what the fearfulness could be, what the enemy's whispering in our ear that it could be, instead, we're praising God and acknowledging God and saying, God, no matter what's going on, I'm focused on you. And what does the scripture say in Isaiah 26:3? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. When you have a situation or a circumstance or something that's going on and it's just sucking the life out of you, that's the time for you to crack open the spirit of praise, the garment of praise, and put it on you, put in the CD, go by yourself, close the door, go in the bathroom, get in the car, do whatever you got to do, and start singing and wailing. And it's okay if it's not the greatest sound in the world, is it's unto the Lord makes all the difference that there is. And that you just give it up to the Lord. Praise you. I just glorify you. I honor you. I'm not going to let the enemy steal this because you are great and you are awesome. When you do that, you are defeating the enemy at the battleground. Now, you can do this because the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit are in fellowship with you. And you can do this because if you want to really be just super duper duper practically honest, God saved you. You get to go to heaven. That's enough for you to say thank you for no matter what takes place in your life for the rest of your life. You get to go to heaven. Put that one on the board. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God, right? Isn't that cool? Well, we're going to get into this because there's even more. Trivia question. How many times did Samuel go to Eli? The answer was three. The answer is three. A lot of threes in the Bible. Like there's a lot of 40s and a lot of sevens, a lot of eights and all those things. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The blessing. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely. So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
If Jesus was like
me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here comes our next trivia question. To whom? Boy, that we don't really ask these kind of questions very often. To whom was the following statement made? Okay. Who was this made to? Okay, the answer to this is in Luke, just to let you know. Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Who was that said to? I will give you the one hint, Luke chapter 9, for those that need to look it up. To whom was the following statement made? Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Who was that said to? That's the old King James Version. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. In the meantime, don't forget about our website. Fun place to visit, fun place to give, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, by now, I'm just going to assume you guys know that I am not a name-it-and-claim-it prosperity gospel guy. So if you're one of those people that think that that's not where this message is going,
that's not where we're heading.
And I appreciate a lot of people that have that faith. And some people, actually, I think, I know this sounds crazy, some people need that kind of like positivity because they got so much negative. So I understand. But that's just not what we're doing. We're just going to teach what the word is as I process it the best I understand it, and hopefully that will be a blessing for people. For those that want to know, we're going to do history real quickly, so let's do our history sound now.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay, for those that want to know, today is Meteor Day. Is that like impressive? It's Meteor Day. Okay.
I don't know what to do with that.
1936, on this day, Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell was published. This I thought was interesting. These two things. These are the things that I find more interesting. Number one, in 1985, The King and I, Yul Brynner's 4,625th Broadway performance of The King of Siam and The King and I. He began that role in 1951 and finished in 1985, 34 years on Broadway on the same role. That's to me, I find that's fascinating. 1953, on this day, the first Corvette is produced. Its first plastic laminated fiberglass sports car that ever came out was initially white with red interior. The base price then was $3,498. Now I think that's how much a tire is for the Corvette, just to let you know. And then in 1967, of all the things important, this would be it. First Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest took place, and it was to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the invention of the hot dog. It was won by a 400-pound Walter Paul, a 32-year-old truck driver who ate 127 hot dogs in an hour. It's a lot of hot dogs. That's what I'm going with. It's a lot of hot dogs. All right, do we got somebody who's going to try and answer the trivia question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary.
It's Mary.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fairly well. You know, I think the best joke today that you have told was, maybe it wasn't a joke, but I really got a big kick out of it when you said it wasn't your fault that you spilled something on the carpet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Crystal Light.
You know what? That's funny because you said you wouldn't get your deposit back on your apartment. And I have to tell you, I won't get my deposit back on my apartment either. I got stains on my carpet. And I also have a piece of linoleum just missing.
That's so funny. That's great. Well, see, you and I are partners in that. We understand that. All right. That's classic. All right. Now, here's your trivia question. To whom was the following statement made? We're just looking for the Luke 9 one because there's a couple of different answers that can go this way. But the Luke 9, 1 through 3, who was those statements made to that they should go out and do those things? Do you know that?
Jesus Christ told his apostles, I think it was his deposits. I mean, I think it was his.
That is right, Mary. Let me tell you, you're right. Here's how it goes. What it says in Luke 9 is, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He said, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. That's the one in Luke 9. There's another one where he sends out more, but that's the one we were looking for, and you got it. You were spot on, so good job on that one.
Okay, well, thank you. I know another time there was 70.
Right, that's right. 70. There's 70 or 72, yeah. There's some people think. But, yeah, there was another time. But you hit the right one, so that was a good job.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that was good for me. Right. Okay, well, thank you very much, okay?
All right, God bless you.
Thank you. Lord bless you, too. He does bless me, really. Okay. He blesses me every day. So.
Amen, amen.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Mary, doing a good job there. Okay. Yeah, and then you could say there's the 70 or 72. There's somebody, but this Luke 9 text was the 12. I'm just trying to help everybody. Luke 9, 1 through 3. Okay, let's go back to this. I don't want you – I think we've covered everything. I don't want to miss one really, 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 really important thing about this one. I don't want you to get caught up in the name and claim it or freak out kind of thing. When we're talking about praise, I want you to catch this. Ephesians chapter 5 – verse 18 through 20, do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and singing praises in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, give thanks always concerning all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So in this one passage in Ephesians 5:18 through 20, you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the Father, another Trinity text, which I think there's like 70 of them. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're supposed to be giving thanks in all concerning all things, and people go, well, all things doesn't mean all things. Okay, well, that's why you didn't get 100 on that quiz. So, yeah, all things means all things. So giving thanks concerning all things through the process of all things, because all things work together for good, we understand that giving praise, giving thanks is an important part of it. How important? This important. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and the sea and all that is in them say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Why is that important? Because that's a picture of heaven. Now, what do you think's going on in heaven right now? Do you think they're all sitting around playing Scrabble? Probably not. Are they playing checkers? Probably not. Are they engaged in the different things that take place on the earth? To some degree, we know that's a fact. Are the angels involved in that too? To some degree, we know that's a fact. But one thing we know for sure from the pictures that we get in Revelation, God is being praised. And when we put on the garment of praise, as ridiculous as it seems, we are connecting with what's going on in heaven. That's why it's such a powerful force. We're doing what they're doing.
And so people are like, well, are you trying to say that if we praise God that that could cast away a spirit of heaviness and push away evil spirits and stuff like that? I'm not saying it, okay? 1 Samuel 16:18 through 23 is saying it. Here's what it says, and this is just so you can know. It said, Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service. I'm pleased with him. Whenever the spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him when David played the music. Here's a quickie question. What kind of music did David play? Have you read the Psalms? Which also, by the way, are songs. The same Hebrew word, psalms, is songs in the Hebrew. So that music, drive the evil spirit away, right? Connecting to heaven, getting your mind off your sorrows and putting them on the Lord. Satan can't stand it. Why can't Satan stand it? Because he's trying to rob God of praise by robbing the people from praising. That's why he tries to steal your joy. And so what did we do? Praise the Lord. And you think that's just a goofy little saying. Sure is. A lot of power behind it, isn't there? It's strong enough where we know that spiritual songs that acknowledge God drive evil spirits away. That's pretty good. That's not too shabby, right? So the idea behind this is for us to get a little better handle on what the process is or how to handle what we go through when the enemy's trying to make it lousy or crummy or terrible or bad or yucky or whatever, you praise. And now the reason that we praise is we connect to heaven, we acknowledge God, we're obeying the scriptures, and we transport from this little goofy earthly realm into the presence of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. How cool is that? You do have a transporter. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus, right? And they said to him, why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy
whose daughter just died, ignore them.
It's like, can you imagine? Okay.
The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like, people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it. And he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, getting ready to do a trivia question. We've never done one like this, so I'm a little hesitant, but I'm gonna throw it out there. Okay, we've never done one like this, but you guys, I have a lot of confidence in you guys. I do. I just hope I say it right. It's not that complex. Genesis is to Malachi as Matthew is to what book? Genesis is to Malachi as Matthew is to, good job, Joanne and Cordelia, good job, good job. Boy, people are really getting this one. I was really kind of hesitant. I didn't know if that would say it good enough, but people are doing an excellent job, excellent text in there. Here's that question, and then we'll leave it there, and then we got so much to cover. Genesis is to Malachi as Matthew is to, and then you got to answer that. Number here is 972-445-0770. The text is 214-210-8483. Somebody calling in. So that should tell you that it was better than I thought. Well, I don't know. I just, you know, I have to do my best. So somebody calling in to do the rest to respond. We'll see if they're going to get that. And then let's see. We'll go from there. I got to go back in my text here. Yes, I think they're going to answer that question. It looks like it. Yes, they're paying for a pizza, and they're answering the question. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice. Always great to hear your voice, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's always great to hear. Well, I listen to you every day almost.
I appreciate that. You know I do. I really am thankful. It's just nice to hear you. All right, my good friend, here you go. It's kind of a different question, a little bit different. Genesis is to Malachi as Matthew is to
Revelation.
That is correct, sir! You are right. That's a good one. That's really kind of a good one because a lot of people don't realize, oh, that's Genesis and Malachi first and last, Matthew and Revelation first and last. Excellent job, yep. My bro. Excellent, excellent work. I appreciate that.
Talk to him, so.
Oh, okay.
See you
later.
All right, bye,
to all right, hey, my brother. Yeah. Killer. Go ahead.
Hey, can I kind of like, can I speak a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay. To say how good God is, I had a daughter. Well, I actually got two daughters, but one of them just got off drugs. Okay. So this is to say, don't stop praying. Don't give up. And then also, I had a brother-in-law that I prayed for 20 years for him to come to Christ. It took 20 years for me praying. My wife and I, do not give up on God. Just continually trust him.
Amen.
That's what I got to say.
Amen. Excellent testimony, bro. Excellent job. I really appreciate that. Great work.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, bro.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you for the great work you're doing.
My privilege. Take care. You have a great rest of. Okay, great, great call. I love calls. Like, how do you not see? This is what we were talking about in the earlier session. How do you not love stuff like that? I just think that's cool. Okay, I think it's cool. All right, we'll do you want to do the Greek word, or you want to skip it? It's kind of iffy. All right, we'll skip it. I have have to check with T. People are like, do the Greek word. Hey, there's a lot of them. Relax. they're not going anywhere. Great testimony, by the way. Excellent testimony. Really, really enjoyed that from our brother. All right, let me finish this up. This is really important. This part right here, I'm gonna illustrate, I think, as strong as possible on how important this whole praise thing is. And I think once you hear this portion, you'll go, okay, well, that will be the end of the subject. Okay, ready? Ready? Just get ready. We've done everything else, covered everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is then how you should pray, Jesus said. Our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stop. Just stop. Stop. What are you starting with? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, glory, praise, honor, acknowledged, sanctified, set apart, your name, God. That is how you start the prayer. So when we're talking about the garment of praise, you're talking about when Jesus taught how to pray, he is open up with praise, open up with acknowledgement. Now, you can do this if you want to. I do this, but I do this because I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. Sometimes I when the Lord knows I'm trying to kind of ask for something that maybe he might say no, I, you know, oh, Lord, you're fantastic. What a great sunset. By the way, you're looking fantastic. It's kind of a joke. My point in saying that is it's this acknowledgement, it's this rejoicing, it's this connection, and it's this praise, and it's this thanksgiving that pours out of our hearts to him. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Yeah, when you do this whole thing, our Father art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, before we get anywhere else, hallowed be your name. Romans chapter 1. First, I thank my God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Looking for the will of God to be fulfilled in your life? Okay, give thanks in everything. Put on the garment of praise. Say thank you. Okay? The reason that I'm bringing this up is because this is an attitude. It's not just an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of obedience. You want to be a disciple. You want to be like Jesus Christ. Do that which the Lord set before us. Acts chapter 16, 22 through 26. The mob joined and attacked against them, and the chief magistrate stripped off their clothes and ordered them beaten with rods. After they inflicted many blows on them, they threw them in jail and ordered the jailer to keep them securely guarded. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains came loose. There is power in praise. And let me tell you something else that will just absolutely floor you. Your spirit that is praiseful to God is a witnessing praise as well. It was the other prisoners. The scriptures doesn't put it in there for nothing. There's other prisoners. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. People are observing you one way or another, whether you know it or not, whether they're in the same room as you or not. And then what happened to their praising God? Instead of getting into their situation, and look at, they were falsely accused, thrown in jail. They were put in the inner jail with their feet in stocks. I mean, this was the most, you know, this is like, these prisoners are bad. If anything happens, it's your head kind of attitude. The guy was like, yeah, we're going to put them in the middle of the middle of the middle of the middle. And what is it that Paul and Silas were doing? They're singing praise, singing hymns. You know, we don't know that. I mean, they probably did some of the hymns that are the psalms that were set to music. But I mean, it's just like, that is just fantastic. Their circumstance, their situation was drastic, terrible. It was unjust. And what did they do? They sang hymns. And they said, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to let us know that you're connected to us. I mean, just all of it. Just think of all the stuff that you go through. And I'll just say this. And I think that's fair to close on something like this. For all the stuff that you go through in life, are you really going to compare that to a trillion years in heaven with God?
where there's no pain and there's no hurt and there's no sorrow for as much of the bad stuff as you've gone through, and I'm denying none of it, are you really going to compare that to what he's got planned? Right? 7 days he made the earth, right? Seventh day he rested. 6 days he made the earth, the universe, he rested. 2,000 years they've been working on where we're going. I know it's not an exact, but it's cool, right? And that's how awesome it's going to be. So what I want you to do is, I don't want you to be fake about it. Don't fake it. You know, if you want to faith it, that's one thing, but don't fake it. Just tell Lord, I need to have this garment of praise attitude. I need to have this kind of like more of a spirit of thank you, spirit of praise, spirit of you're cool. This is awesome. You're in charge. I can trust you. You have my best interests in mind, even if I don't get it. We just need to have that. And you can't tell me that when we pray, and you know, most of you are listening to me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You get to church, and maybe they do 3 songs, 4 songs, 5 songs. Some people really get into the music. You know when everybody's corporately singing praise to God, just the atmosphere changes. It's like wow, what's going on? Everybody's just tuning in with what's going on in heaven. That's why it's so cool, right? So my encouragement is not to be dishonest about it, not to be disingenuous, but be who you are and come before the Lord and say, man, I got to have a better spirit of praise. I need to be more of a thankful. I need to be more like Paul and Silas, whereas if I'm unjustly accused and thrown in the middle, I can just lift up singing praise to you and say, you're the greatest. Because you know what? He is the greatest. And you know what's really cool about that? He loves you. That's what's cool. Okay. All right. Answer to the trivia, right? Good idea. I should probably answer that. Or did we already answer that? Oh, Ronnie answered that. That's right. Okay. I must be getting close to 60. That's all I can think. Sorry, Ronnie. My brain went out. All right. We're going to take our break. That's it. I think that's the show. I think we've done the best that we can do. I hope that it was a blessing for all of you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.